Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union. Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, Perek Chaf, Chapter 20. Rabbi Binny Marilis. We are but two chapters away from completing Sefer Shoftim, and we are in the midst of a most intense and tragic story, the story of the Pilegish Begiva, the story of the concubine, who in yesterday's chapter was repeatedly raped, died, and then cut into pieces and sent around the camp of the Jewish people. An abomination in its own right, which leads to chapter 20, which is an outright rebellion and civil war in amongst the people, and takes us into 21, where there's some form of a reconciliation and an attempt at a reestablishment of the tribe of Binyamin. Chapter 20, the longest of the three chapters, deals with the battle and the war. And at the outset, it's first important to understand how this comes to be and what is exactly going on here. We'll have the Jewish people rising up against Binyamin and asking for an explanation. We'll have the people of Binyamin refusing to respond, essentially, refusing to give over the accused, defending the accused. And we'll have this out-and-out battle where thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people will die on both sides. An enormous tragedy to the point where which we almost lose an entire tribe. What lessons possibly can be learned in a very short time from such a chapter about shalom, the ideas of peace, about din, the notions of judgment, of law, of rule, the matter of war, decency, moral standing. So many lessons learned from this unspeakable tragedy in the Jewish people. Let's begin. Vayitzu kol bnei Yisrael, patikahel ha'ida ki ish echad l'midan v'ad be'er sheva, v'eret ha'gilad, el adunai ha'mitzvah. All of the Jewish people gathered together, large assembly gathers as one, from Dan to Beersheva, from the land of the Gilad. They all gather in a place called Mitzpah. Mitzpah, it appears, is a location in the northern regions of the tribe of Binyamin. It's a location that perhaps we've seen before, and it's significant in that it seems to be a gathering location for the Jewish people, in times of crisis, in times of needs, in times of prayer. Here they gather at Mitzpah. Essentially, they're gathering together at Mitzpah to figure out what just happened and to figure out what they should do about it. Yizyatzu pinos kol ha'am kol shivtei Yisrael. All of the outer reaches and outer stretches of the nation, all of the tribes of Israel, pekahal am ha'elohim, are amongst and counted upon in this congregation, this gathering of the nation of God. Listen to this number. Arba meos elef ish ragli, 400,000 men on foot, sholef charev, armed with swords. So you have a gathering of people almost to the number of Jewish men that left Mitzrayim, gathered in this place Mitzpah, who gathered there on foot to find out what had happened and to lay some form of retribution at the hands and feet of the people of Binyamin. An enormous number of people. V'yishmu b'nei Binyamin ki alu b'nei Yisrael ha-mitzvah. The tribe of Binyamin hears, whatever that means, but they are made aware of the notion that the rest of the nation is gathered at Mitzpah. Vayomu b'nei Yisrael, and the people of Israel speak. Dabru, tell us, eicha nihiyasa hara hazos. How did such an outrageous, awful, terrible, unspeakable, horrible thing happen? What happened? It's their form of investigation. They're looking for testimony, perhaps evidence, proof, something to shed light on the event so that he can judge and adjudicate appropriately with respect to the accused and with respect to the tribe from which the accused come. The Malban points out here significantly that such a gathering on such a level is essential to ascribe and apply blame here and a punishment. That essentially what they're saying by gathering at such a large level implies that what happened here is some form of merit, a rebellion of sorts, a kfira of sorts, where it's an abdication of their relationship with God, an abrogation, a breaking away from the covenant of Hashem. And it's a massive chil Hashem. And so it requires the mass number of people to get together to impose and carry out and execute a punishment of sorts. Of course, this is all occurring because, as we mentioned numerous times, and we'll see again, Ein Melech Yisrael, there's no king. So there's no centralized power that can adjudicate such a situation and offer judgment here. So the multitude of people are gathering. At the same time, the people of Binyamin are going to deny the claim that retribution should be applied. Keep in mind that there are no witnesses to the actual tragedy and raping of this woman. And keep in mind that perhaps their intent was not to kill her and that she died as a result of her injuries, but that was not their intent. So without real witnesses and without warning and without actual intent for killing, perhaps there's not much of a case here, other than the emotional side of it, there's not much of a case, perhaps from halachic side, and imposing the punishment could be quite difficult. And Dat Sofrim points that out here as well, that what the rest of the Jewish people are trying to impose is all well and good, and perhaps correct, although it has shaky legal standing from a halachic standpoint, other than Bidei Shemayim, other than at the hand of God, and allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to execute and exact some sort of revenge on his own at another date, another time. All this is going on. So they ask what happened. Vayan ha'ish ha'levi, the man himself speaks. Ish ha'isha ha'nirtzacha vayomar. The man speaks. He's the man of the woman who was murdered. And he says as follows. Hagiv asa shel Binyamin basi ani pilak shilalun. I came to Giv'ah in Binyamin with my pilagash to rest. Vayakumu alai ba'alei ha-Giv'ah. The people, the ba'alim, the way the commentaries understand, the chashuvim, the important people of the Giv'ah, of that area, of that place, rose up. Vayasobu alayas habayas laila, and they surrounded the house that night. Osi dimu laharog, they had intended to kill me. Ve'espilokshi inu v'tamos, and the concubine, my concubine, they afflicted her. This is sort of a light way of saying it, and she died. Notice that he leaves out some details here. The attempt by the Baal HaBayis, the head of household, to stop this. He leaves out the notion that he gave her to them, that he's somewhat blameworthy here as well. That could have been out of embarrassment to make such a statement, or out of fear to making such a statement, but it is left out in his accounting of the event. And she's dead. Va'alchez v'pilakshi, and I took hold of the concubine of this woman, and I chopped her up. And I sent her out, pieces of her body out, to all the reaches of the land of Israel. Because a disgusting and abominable thing had been done in Israel, and I wanted everyone to know it and to see it, to be aware of it. Hinei kuchem b'nei Yisrael, you are all people of Israel. Havu lechem davar ve'etza halom. Now make a decision here and now. Figure out what you're going to do. He charges them, challenges them here in this moment. Now they don't, according to the text, seek out the other gentleman who was at the event. It does not seem clear that they go into the Giva area and investigate and do, you know, some sort of a crime scene type of investigation, real full-on police work. They take him as his word. Vayakam kol ha'am in verse 8, ki ish echad leimur. The nation stands up as one, and they say, lo neilech ish la'ohalo. No man will return to his tent, v'lo nasur ish le'beso, and no person will turn aside and go home. Not even for a moment, not even for an instant. We're going to do something. We're going to figure something out. V'yatoz zeh ha'davar she'na'aseh la'giv'ah. Now this is what we're going to do to the people of Giv'ah, Aleha Begoral, and we're going to do it with a lottery. Not everyone's going to go, but we'll decide who is going to go and who's not going to go. V'lakachnu asara anashim l'meya, 10 of 100, l'chol shivtei Yisrael for all the tribes, u'mei l'elef, and 100 for 1,000, v'elef l'rivava, and 1,000 for every 10,000, l'kachat tzeita la'am, to go and get rations and food for the entire nation, because they had come without food. They didn't know what they were coming for exactly. They didn't realize that they were up against the possibilities of a war. So they're going to send the group, a percentage, to go and get food. Lasos levo'am legev binyamin, kechol hanivala she'asa b'Yisrael. So when they go out, then they may go out and do what they need to do near Binyamin, in the areas of Binyamin, with respect to this abomination that took place in Israel. Other people gather together in the city as one man, as chaverim, as friends. Friends, I don't know if friends is the right word. Chaverim, from the notion of a chabura, that they are connected, that they are united in the task at hand. The Das Sofer makes the point, you know, if only halavai that they would have been so united in the story of Pesel Micha, to eradicate the idol worship from Klal Yisrael. Halavai that they had been so united as chaverim in other situations, and if they were always united in such a way, that they would always be worthy of the title, as mentioned earlier, of the Kahal Am HaElohim, to the congregation of the nation of God, then that would have been more meritorious for them and more power to them as they would have fought their ultimate battles. So that's the stage has been set. They're going to do something. They're going to do some sort of retribution. They're going to go at the people of Binyamin. And here we go in verse 12. V'yishlechu shiftei Yisrael anashim b'chol shiftei Binyamin leimur. And they send out legions and people throughout the region, throughout the recesses of Binyamin, saying, Mahar ahazos asheni yasabachem. What is this awful, outrageous thing that has happened amongst you? Give us the men, these terrible, horrible men, that they are amongst you, and we will kill them. We will put them to death. And we will then eradicate and destroy and eliminate this evil from amongst us. It's a fair request. These men are guilty. They committed a horrible crime. And an unbelievably terrible crime. So give us these guys. And then we're good. Give us these people over. And then we have nothing to worry about. We'll put them to death and everyone else will go home. And the story will be over. V'lo avu v'nyamin. The people of Binyamin, no. They refused to listen to the voice of Bnei Yisrael. They refused to hand these men over. As I mentioned to you before, perhaps, the way the Dan Sofrim explains it, perhaps it is that they felt that this was wrong, that this is sort of a lynching that's going on here. It's a mob mentality. And there was no right to give these men over for punishment and death from a strictly halachic standpoint, from mitzat hadin. And perhaps Dat Sofer speculates the notion that the Beis Din in Binyamin, their own little Sanhedrin, essentially ruled that it was not permissible to offer these men over, and they don't. From an emotional standpoint, one could argue either way. From a halachic standpoint, perhaps one could argue either way as well. But certainly what's going on here is an awful lack of communication amongst the tribes. Vayasu b'nei Binyamin min ha'arim ha'giv'asa. The people of Binyamin gather in Givah. Latzeis l'milchama im b'nei Israel. And they're going to go to war over this. They're going to battle to defend their rights and to defend their people from this sort of a lynching. Vayispaktu b'nei Binyamin b'yom b'hu mi'ha'arim. So the tribe of Binyamin gathers together and they number 26,000 ish shalif charev, 26,000 men. Levan miyoshri hagiva hispaktu shivami os ish bachur. Plus 700 that were gathered and that were counted there in the Giva. So if you do the math, right, you have 26,700. And mikola am hazeh shivami os ish bachur. From amongst this group, they had 700 iter yadmino, 700 lefties, kozek koleya ba'even el hasara velo yechti. Each one had the ability to sling a stone, right, koleya ba'even, at a sear, at a hair, velo yechti. He would not miss. He would not split off to the side. He would hit that target. Meaning, these were seasoned sharpshooters. These were assassins. These were people who could hit their target. This was not a joke. This was serious business. So you have here, 26,700 people approximately on the side of Binyamin, and on the other side we know the number, but it's again repeated to us. V'ish Yisrael hispaktu levad mi Binyamin. The group of the of Israel was gathered and counted as well, excluding Binyamin. Arbameos elef ish shalef charev, 400,000 armed men, kolze ish milchama, each one a warrior. In the ensuing verses, we'll get the story of the war, the first 2 days of war, the third day of war, and then finally when it turns against Binyamin, we will sort of get two retellings of the story, headlines, and then a little bit of a detail about the destruction of Binyamin. So the war begins. Vayakamu vayalu beis el, vayishalu be'elohim. So before they actually go to battle, they go and ask God. They go and ask the Urim v'Tumim. A conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu with respect to this war. It seems like the right thing to do. However, they make a mistake. Vayomer b'nei Yisrael. Who will go out first from amongst our tribes to war with Binyamin? And God answered that Yehuda should go first. So their question was strategic. Who should go first? It wasn't what you would call philosophical. It wasn't what you would call a psak. Where they're asking, should we go to war? Should we not go to war? They're asking, how do we go to war? Tactically speaking, what's the best way to go to battle? The implication being that it gave it as an assumed fact that what they were doing was right. And ultimately, it's clear that what they were doing was not exactly right. So they asked God a specific question. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu through the Urim v'Tumim would answer a question directly. You asked a certain question, you got an answer to that question. No speculations, no additional comments, no additional ideas. An answer to the question. The question was, who goes first? Well, you got someone's going to go first. Let it be Yehuda. The people, the gathering of this 400,000, they gather on the Giv'ah, right near the place Giv'ah. Just by way of mentioning, in terms of the map, we're talking here as the central location of the land of Israel. to the north of Yerushalayim. Directly north on the road from Yerushalayim is Givah. And as you go further north, sort of weaving through the mountains, you have Ramah and Michmash and Mitzpah and modern-day Ramallah. And as you go further, you have Beit El. This is all the areas we're talking. All the way further beyond that, up the path, is Shiloh, into Har Ephraim. So you're working on a sort of one, I wouldn't say one road, but you're working on a fairly direct line amongst the different cities. So they're around and camping around Givah. Now verse 20, so they go out to war with Binyamin, and they battle at the Givah. Vayetzu b'nei Binyamin min ha-givah, Binyamin comes out of the Givah. Vayashchisu b'Yisrael b'yom ahu, shnayim v'esrim elef ish artza. And Binyamin takes a huge bite out of the Jewish people, 22,000 men. 22,000 men are killed from the camp of 400,000. Now, percentage-wise, it's not a big percentage, but it's 22,000 people on the first day. They are undeterred, the people of Israel, they're undeterred, they strengthen themselves, they gird themselves further. And they continue to war where they warred on the first day. They're going to battle, they're not going to stop. They completely believe that they're justified in what they're doing. But before they do that, second day, they go and ask God again. B'nei Yisrael go up to God. They go up somewhere. It seems like they go up to God. They cry. They cry into the night. But Yishalu b'Adonai l'imor. They ask God as follows. Ha'osif l'geshes l'milchama b'nei Binyamin achi. Should we continue? Should we once again go to battle? V'yom Adonai alu elav. Go. Again, the question is slightly off. Slightly off. Bnei Yisrael are punished severely. Perhaps we're asking the wrong question, as some of the commentaries offer. And perhaps, as some of the other commentaries offer, as retribution, as a punishment, for not having stood up for Kvod Hashem with Pesach Micha. That here they're standing up for Kvod Atzmam, for the Kvod of the people, which is honorable. At the same time, it's less honorable by virtue of the fact that they didn't stand up for the honor of God in the previous story, in the previous chapters, and eradicate the idol worship from amongst the Jewish people. If you take these stories in chronological order, that this story happens after the previous story, then the people of Dan, who he dealt with in that story, who stole the Pesel Micha, are now waging war against the people of Binyamin for what they did to this woman, which is morally questionable, at the least. So they go to battle the second day. Interestingly enough, also, in this verse, they call them Binyamin Achi, that they're brothers. They're killing them, and they think they're justified in doing it, but they're our brothers. They're our brothers. V'ikru b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Binyamin b'yom ha'sheni, comes the second day of war, now verse 25. V'yetze Binyamin l'krasam min ha'giva b'yom ha'sheni, and Binyamin comes out again, storming out of Givah on the second day. And they kill another 18,000 men to the ground, all armed men. If you're doing your math, you now have 40,000 dead. 40,000. Binyamin must think, oh, we are right. We are justified. We're 100% right. The Jewish people must think, the rest of the Jewish people must think, oh my gosh, like, what's going to be here? Aren't we justified? What's going on here? And they go back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Verse 26, the Jewish people, everyone comes to Beis El. And now they do more. So before they went, and the second time they cried. And now, vayivku, they cry. Vayeshu sham lifnei Adonai, and they sit. And they fast. Ve'alu olos ushlamim lifnei Adonai. And they offer sacrifices. They offer offerings. They give gifts, quote unquote, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's almost like a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, beseeching you, let us be victorious in this war. This has to be the following way. What have we done wrong? It's almost the charata, a tshuva, the whole thing. And now they ask again, and they ask it perhaps in the best way possible. Vayishalu bnei Yisrael ba'Adonai, they ask God again. Visham Aron bris ha'Elohim bayamim mehem. And they ask the question in front of the Aron. O Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron omed lefana bayamim mehem limor. Pinchas is the kohen gadol. This is why you probably have to say that this is earlier on in the history. Pinchas is the kohen gadol, the zealot of the Jewish people, the man of peace, nonetheless. Ha'osif od atzeis la'milchama im b'nei b'nyamin achi im echtal. Should we go? Shouldn't we go? Should we continue? Should we not continue? V'yomer Adonai alu. Chesh Baruch says, go. Ki machar etnenu b'yadecha. Because tomorrow I will give them over into your hand. So they have been beaten down enough, they have been punished enough, and Chesh Baruch says, okay, now it's fine. So when they go to war the next day, they go to war in a different manner. They go to war much more in a militaristic type of approach. They set up ambushes. They go to battle. This has to be fought a certain way. Vayasam Yisrael Arvim El Hagiv Asaviv. They set up ambushes in verse 29 around Giv'ah. And now verse 30. It's day 3 of the war. Vayalu b'nei Yisrael el b'nei b'nyamin b'yam ha'shlishi. It's the third day of the war, and Bnei Yisrael come out to battle. Vayarchu el ha-giv'ah kifam bipam. And they go to battle in the same manner they did the first 2 days, straight at Giv'ah. Vayetzu Bnei Binyamin dekras ha'am, and Bnei Binyamin come out. Hantiku min ha'ir. And they are completely drawn out. They come completely out of the city. Some of the commentaries point out that on the third day, Binyamin is not only supremely confident, but perhaps overconfident. And now they have moved, perhaps, from the notion of simply fighting a defensive war, where they will not allow for their men to be taken, to an offensive type of situation, where they're now out for blood, and thus they sort of succumb and they lose. Either way. But by virtue of the fact that this lust is there for the blood, the larger camp of the people is able to draw them out so that they will desire to fight more. And they begin to hit back and strike a blow at the people, as like the first 2 days on the roads. That the roads, one heads toward Beis El and the other one heads toward Giv'ah. Kishloshim ish b'Yisrael. Like 30 people. Much smaller number, but nonetheless, they must feel like, oh, it's happening again. Vayomer b'nei Binyamin, they say in verse 32, Nigafim him lefnei nekev rishana. Right? They are beaten down before us as before. Uvnei Yisrael amru, and the b'nei Yisrael had said, they had set up as follows, Nanusa unisaknuhu min ha'ir el ha'mesilos. We will run from them, we will retreat from them, we'll run away from the city into the roads, and they'll come after us, and they'll follow us out. Let's take them out of the city. Behold, Ish Yisrael, come on, come on. Every man got up from his place. Vayarchu b'Baal Tamar. And they array themselves, they align themselves in the place called Baal Tamar, somewhere in the reaches of Giv'ah. V'orev Yisrael, megiach m'mekom m'ma'arei Gavah. And the ambush of the Jewish people was moving from its place also, a place called Ma'arei Gavah, the plains of Gavah. Perhaps that's an area to the north. V'yavo mineged l'Giv'ah, and they arrive from opposite to Giv'ah, asaras alafim ish bachur mikol Yisrael, 10,000 men, v'amilchama kveda, and it's a very difficult and heavy war. V'him lo yadu, Binyamin doesn't know, kinogas aleim hara, that it's coming. They don't realize what's about to happen. They've been drawn out of the city. The ambush is about to lay siege to them. It's about to attack them. And they have no clue what's going to be. Vayigof Adonai Binyamin Yisrael. as we mentioned, that Binyamin is hitting, right? They're striking at the Jewish people. But the Jewish people are fighting back on that day to the tune of 25,100 men, all armed soldiers. So here we're getting headlines. We'll get more detail in a moment. But if you're doing your math, you had 40,000 of the rest of the camp on the first 2 days. Now you have 25,000 and 25,100 additional. You have 65,000 plus people killed in 3 days of war. Binyamin sees that they're being beaten. Ve'yidnu ish Yisrael makom leBinyamin. They give Binyamin space. Ki batchu el ha'areva shesamu el ha'giva. Because they were secure and trusting in the ambush that was lying in wait near Giva. Ve'ha'arev hechishu. Ve'yifshetu el ha'giva. The ambush begins to hasten, to move along faster, and they spread out around the Giva. Right, and they continue to move around the city. They strike down the entire city. So again, you're not getting the specific details, you're getting headlines here. More details to come. And the point, the symbol that they used for the sake of the ambush, that they should send up a column of smoke from the city, and then they would know that they had taken the city. And the people of Israel would turn in the course of the war. They would turn around. And the people of Binyamin had hit them, had struck them to the tune of 30 people. For they had said, "Af nigof nigafu lefanenu kemilchama harishana." Because we're striking them down as we had done at the beginning of the war, the first 2 days. And the column, the pillar of smoke, begins to rise from the city. And here we get to a little bit more. Binyamin turns around. They see that the city is literally entirely engulfed in flame, burning up towards the heavens. And the people of Israel who were running away now turn around. The people of Binyamin are terrified, they're horrified, they're scared. They realize that they have been defeated. There's that crestfallen moment when defeat is obvious. Vayifnu Lifnei ish Yisrael el haderech hamidbar. They turned away from the Israel army to head towards the desert. V'hamilchama hidbikasu. But the war had attached itself to them. It had stuck itself to them. V'asher meha'arim mashchisim oso b'socho. And all those that were in the ambushers that were lying in wait in the cities were destroying it. They were destroying them from within it. They were destroying them without it. Everywhere they were going, they were being destroyed. Kisru es Binyamin hirdifuhu. That's what it says. This is sort of like some sort of a kina, some sort of a sorrow song, this verse. They crowned Binyamin and they pursued them. Right, they sort of surrounded them. They sort of set a crown around them with all the different sides, and they pursued them. Minucha hidrichuhu. When they desired to rest, they trampled upon them. Adnocha chagiva mimizrach hashemesh. Until opposite the giva, towards the east where the sun was. Meaning there was no rest for the weary, there was no way, no opportunity to escape. And now more detail as to how the deaths occurred. V'yiplum Binyamin 18,000 ish, eskol eila anchichel. 18,000 men, the first 18,000 men of Binyamin fall in this surrounding event, where they're surrounded by the other tribes, 18,000 men fall. Vayifnu vayanusah midbara el Sela HaRimon. The rest then turn away and run towards the desert, a place called Sela HaRimon, which perhaps is a place called Rimon, which is to the east of Betel. Vayaoleluhu b'mesilos, chameshes alafim ish. And they cut down 5,000 men. Vayadbiku acharav ad Gidom, and they stick to them, they take to them completely until a place called Gidom, which is a place somewhere into the desert. Vayakum imenu alpayim ish. And there 2,000 men died. So you have 25,000 total. Vayhi kol anoflim binyamin, all of the total, some total that died from binyamin, eshim mechamisha elef ish shalifcher v'yamahu, es kol ele anche chaya. All those were soldiers. All those were warriors. 25,000 people. Remember, we didn't have many more total in the tribe. 25,000 is literally an eradication of the tribe of Binyamin. Vayifnu vayanusa midbar el sela rimon sheish me'os ish. Some remaining 600 men had fled to Sela HaRimon. It's clear that they were known where they were. Vayeshu b'Sela HaRimon arba'a chadashim. And they remain in Sela HaRimon for 4 months. We'll see what happens to them in the next chapter. V'ish Yisrael shavu el b'nei Binyamin. Listen to this. The last verse of our chapter. The people of Israel, the man of Israel, this warring army now, returned to the people of Binyamin. Vayakum l'fi cherif. And they attack them there as well. They strike them down. Mi'ir misom ad behima. From the cities until the animals, ad kol nimtza, anything else that they found. Gam kol ha'arim ha'nimtza'os shilchu ba'esh. And all the cities that they found, they set to fire. So what you then have, literally, is almost the elimination of the tribe of Binyamin from the face of the earth. Absent a few men, their cities are destroyed, the population is destroyed. By the end, it seems almost bloodlust, more than anything else, at the hands of the Jewish people. But it's a full-on destruction of the tribe of Binyamin. And the initial goal was to punish these men who had done what they had done to the Pelegesh. What we get from it is a total disaster, loss of life, 25,000 from Binyamin, 40,000 from the camp of Israel, 65,000 people in a very short period of time that are dead for a war that it's clear does not need to happen. What a travesty, what a tragedy for the Jewish people. We'll see how the story ends out in chapter 21 tomorrow.